Good day and welcome to the Cigna Autism Awareness Series. Today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the call over to Ms. Kristen Martson. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Jill. Welcome, and thank you for calling into Cigna's Autism Awareness Series. My name is Kristen Martson, and I am a case manager for the autism team at Cigna. Due to the format of this call, you will not be able to ask questions during the teleconference. However, at the end of this conference, you will be transferred into a brief five-question survey in which we are requesting your feedback regarding your experience in today's seminar. After this survey, you will be able to ask questions on today's presentation. A handout for today's seminar is available online at www.cigna.com/autism. Scroll to Current Topics section in the middle of your page and click on today's topic labeled The Social Web for Caregivers of Autism. Please note that not all policies cover today's topic. For more specific information, if your policy covers topics discussed in today's seminar, please contact the autism team by calling the number on the back on your insurance card. Today I have the pleasure of introducing Chip Nash. Chip is Vice President of Product Partnerships with Audax Health, who are the creators of Zensei. Chip has experience with building applications and has extensive background working with the autism community through a partnership with Autism Speaks. Thank you, Chip, for being here today. You're welcome to start your presentation.
Thank you, Kristen, and thank you for everybody to spend the afternoon with us. The title of the presentation is The Social Web for Caregivers of Autism, but really I could have called this Things You Might Like, because I'm going to spend most of the time showing you specific resources that I found and that I thought that a caregiver of autism would find helpful. The reason they exist right now really is because of the evolutionary changes that we're seeing in the web as it moves from static pages to apps, whether it be mobile or web-based. It's really an exciting time, and what I wanted to be able to show you are some examples of things that you might find very helpful, regardless of your particular or personal situation. Moving to slide two, my background, as Kristen mentioned, I'm Vice President of Product Partnerships at Audax Health. We built a health and wellness engagement platform. I'm not really going to go into the details of it because that's not what we're here to talk about, but we do have a partnership with Autism Speaks, and we were looking at ways to help caregivers of autism improve their own health and their own well-being so that they could, be better enabled to care for their loved ones, especially those that are depending on them. And I spent a lot of time looking at the different applications that were around or coming out for caregivers of autism, and so that's sort of the relevant background of mine, and that's how I've come across these applications that I'm going to share with you today. So the purpose on slide three, I'm going to very quickly discuss some high-level trends in, sort of the social and the evolution of the web. I didn't want to spend too much time. This isn't supposed to be an overview of technology, but I do think it's helpful to sort of see how the trends are shaping, a focus and attention in these areas. And then really the core of what I wanted to do here was share, autism-specific applications. These are going to range from those that are designed to help, those with autism or that are on the spectrum, and also those that are designed specifically for caregivers. So I wanted to give you a little bit of both and also show you places where you can find applications. So I can show you a few examples and then also show you a good place where you can then go, find others and research those on your own. And that really is the goal, is to help you understand or see how, these technologies can, help your personal situation, regardless of what that is. So that's our goal here today. On slide four, you'll see this is a quick disclaimer. I just wanted to make it clear that I do not work for, I don't have any financial incentive, and I'm not here representing any of the products that I'm going to talk about here today. really, the things that I'm talking about here today, and if I pulled one of these apps to talk about or to share with you, it's just because that after looking into them, I found that they were pretty interesting, and I thought they were pretty cool, and I thought that you might as well. So there's no, you know, ulterior motive for why I pulled, you know, one particular application over another. These are things that I think that you might find interesting. So let's go ahead and get into the presentation. The next slide, the evolution of the web. This is one of the things, and I hate when people throw around buzzwords that aren't common. So I'm going to help maybe cut through the clutter of what people mean when they say, oh, web 1.0 or 2.0 or 3.0. What does that really mean? Just very quickly, web 1.0, that's when, you know, you first started to see the Internet. This is what Google indexed. It was static pages that you could go and search. So think of, you know, the first CNN.com as a place to go get news. These were read-only. So I could read what was on a web page, but there was no exchange of information from me as the reader of what was on that page with CNN as the producer of the content in that example. Web 2.0 changed that. This is when people started being able to create their own content. So the obvious ones you would think are, you know, Facebook or MySpace or Twitter, Wikipedia, where I'm sort of like helping to create blogs, et cetera. And then also the interaction. So I'm now leaving comments on the article that I read on CNN.com. That was the social. The semantic, which again is sort of another one of these buzzwords, this is where we start to close the gap between, you know, the people and the consumers of content, and then the computers and the programs that are actually running them. So this is where you really start to see personalized recommendations, not driven from another person. So the example that I use is Amazon. I go on and I buy a certain book, and it knows that people that have also bought that book also liked, you know, these other books. So it makes those recommendations to me. Now, that wasn't an employee at Amazon making that recommendation to me. That was a program that knew, based on buying patterns, that I might like this because other people that share my similar interests would also like it. So we're in a Web 3.0 environment right now, where you see a lot of personalized recommendations, but it's also a very social environment, and it's an exciting time because there are people that are, I think, really focused now that there is this infrastructure in place to build applications specific to caregivers and those that are on the autism spectrum. And, you know, the reason I think that it's so exciting, if you go to the next slide, you can look at the rate of growth. And I just, you know, again, I didn't want to get too deep into the trends. I think it's more valuable to spend time focusing on things that you might actually be able to take out of this call and actually go check out. But again, just to give you, you know, a sense for how these things are growing, this graph that you'll see in the chart is the total number of apps that have been downloaded from the App Store since it was launched in June of 2008. And it's noticeable that this is ranking and showing these, graphing these in downloads in order of the billions. So this is an extraordinary volume, and to think that, you know, the iPhone was just released in 2007, and the App Store opened a year later, you can see how quickly this took off. So as you're seeing this rate of increase in downloads, there's different types of apps that have been created to solve different types of problems, and among those are those related to autism and for caregivers of autism. So the next slide, to really tee this up, you know, is why should you care? Because one, technology is evolving to address people's frustrations. And if you're saying, you know what, I wish I had something that would do, you know, dot, 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 then there's probably somebody else that's out there that has that similar frustration. And right now, with the tools that are available, people are building it. And you know, the makers of these apps that I'm going to show you, they all have, you know, been personally impacted with autism, whether it be their own children or, you know, their sister's children. you know, there are so many people that have been impacted that it's inevitable that there are people in technology that build these things that haven't also been impacted. They have been, and they've created things that are designed to help a variety of situations. And so that's really what I wanted to get into showing you today. You know, the other thing that's, I think, really interesting is while you're seeing this evolution in the, you know, the software side, so on the app side, you've also seen this evolution on the hardware side, so the iPad mini, for example. The iPad was really a huge step forward in terms of, you know, introducing a new tool that was very visual, touchscreen oriented, very simple. There's one button. Now that we're making it smaller, this is just sort of, I guess, the next evolution, and you'll see a lot of continued, you know, development and exciting progression on the hardware side. But let's look at the first example that I chose to highlight on the next slide. This is a game called Look in My Eyes, and it's an app, and it's designed to help improve eye contact and develop social skills. Obviously, eye contact is a big part of communication. The target age group for this is 4 to 9, and the way that it works is it shows various pictures. Almost all of them are children, and there are different numbers that are in the eyes in the picture. And it'll stay up for a few seconds, and then it goes away, and then the child is asked to enter the number that they saw that was in the eyes. And when they get it right, then they're earning, you know, dollars that they can go in and purchase in this virtual marketplace, and they can buy different things to outfit different rooms in this virtual world. And it's a really basic concept to teach, you know, this fundamental area of communication about making eye contact. And it's one of those things that it, as it translates to, you know, the real world environment, a lot of parents have found that this works very well. One of the things that I always look at is to get feedback from the parents themselves, observations they've noticed, and I would encourage you to do the same. You know, and there's the ability to do that when you go into the iTunes store. Always look at the feedback and comments that other parents have left. And then I would also encourage you that as you do that, return that same favor to other parents who would be coming in and leave feedback on it, good and bad, to help, you know, people that will also be looking at this in the future. But it's very simple. It's neat. You know, it's not very graphic or heavy, but it's a very good application for that 4 to 9 year old demographic. The next slide shows the Social Express. So if Look in My Eyes is sort of on that very basic level, the Social Express is a much more evolved and a much deeper experience. This is actually a full, you know, sort of interactive, dynamic gaming environment. And you can see, you know, the slide that's just after this overview, so the next slide, I just included 4 screenshots to show you, just sort of graphically give you a sense for what this game looks like. But it looks like you're watching a Disney Pixar movie. I mean, it's pretty in-depth. It's really a neat game. And there's a number of reasons why I think this has become so popular. You know, it's helping, you know, children start to identify the feelings in others. And it's very good at showing, you know, the facial expressions through the characters. And it gives visual clues. It has the pacing control and lesson options. So you can really, you know, sort of set the right learning environment. But it's helping to children not just understand the importance of eye contact, but to read nonverbal social clues, identify, you know, appropriate coping strategies, how to start conversations, and how to learn to be a part of a group, and really understand some of the hidden rules that you see in social situations. So this game is, I will say this, it's a subscription-based, and this is, for me, very much on the expensive side, right? So it's typically $90. They are running a special that ends through the month of April for autism awareness, where you can get it for 6 months at $29.99. So if that is something that is within your budget and you think this is something that you might like to check out, go to thesocialexpress.com. That website has a lot of resources and a lot of background on the game, how it was designed, who designed it. Again, they have experience in this from the clinical side and personal side. And look at the frequently asked questions. And you can it said on the website that it wasn't available for the iPad, but it is. If you go on iTunes, you can actually download the app. But it's available for any computer that has an Internet connection. So the iPad is not a prerequisite to be able to do this. Like I said, it's a subscription-based, so you can log on to any computer that has the Internet and play. And there's a variety of different lesson plans that, you know, are updated throughout, you know, the course of the subscription. So this is something that if you're not familiar with it, I would strongly encourage you to check out and see if you think this might be a good fit for you. The next one that I would talk about is the Zones of Regulation. This is an app that if you look on the following page, you can see I included some screenshots about it. That's from within the actual gaming experience itself. But this is based on a book, Lee Kuyper's book, The Zones of Regulation, and it basically is designed to help improve mood control, alertness, problem solving, and self-control. So he basically breaks out four basic zone categories, organized by color. So on the red zone, you know, very heightened state of alertness, intense emotion, and this is where you'll see anger, explosive behaviors, and just really, you know, terror, devastation, all of the very extremely heightened states of alertness and emotion. Yellow is still a heightened state, but it's here where you'll start to see, you know, maybe a little bit of anxiety and excitement, but there is some level of control that's in it. Green is the more calm state of alertness. So you're happy, you're content, you're in that ideal zone for learning. And then blue is a low state of alertness. So this is, of course, when you're tired, when you're sick, or you're bored, or you're sad. And really, these zones are a good way to look at, you know, how everybody, you know, sort of reacts and feels when they're, you know, they're in one of these buckets. So what's great about this game, you know, again, this is helping, you know, thinking about feelings, you know, as they're organized in those four zones. And as you're playing the game, you're exploring how different triggers and events are going to impact how people are feeling. And ideally, you know, what the game is trying to do is to teach strategies and tools for managing feelings. So you start to recognize when you cross in from one zone to the next so that you can start to anticipate the types of emotional reactions that you're going to sense and feel as you go from one zone to the next. And then you're starting to learn, you know, coping mechanisms for how to transfer yourself from one zone to the next. How can I get from the yellow to the green, or how can I get from red to yellow? So they're breaking this down to, you know, I think in a very basic way to view these feelings. And then, you know, the gaming aspect of it does sort of make it a little bit more fun. They have mini games that will break out the experience. But again, it's sort of reinforcing, you know, with game theory and game mechanics, some of these very basic levels, and I thought that this did a particularly good job of communicating some very complex information, or breaking down some very complex information into a very simple and engaging format. So I really liked this one. Moving on from the Zones of Regulation, this one is one of my particular favorites. This is a web-based application, and it's called Squag. There are a few reasons that I really like this, and I'll explain those in a minute. But essentially, you know, what's the squag pad is a room that the parent or caregiver would customize for the child to make sure that when they come to their squag pad, they're surrounded by their favorite things, and it's designed to, you know, sort of look and feel like a very sunlit room, a happy place. And the features you see are, you know, interactive. So, for example, the scrapbook is going to capture all of the things they're doing within their little room, their little environment. The parents can leave, you know, messages of encouragement for the child. You can put in pictures of their favorite things. And then the child can also respond with messages of their own. They can watch videos or browse photos. They can also connect with others that have squag pads. So it's a way for them to interact almost like a social network for others that are on the spectrum. And they can interact with the, you know, other children that are also on squag. So let's get into one of the reasons why I like this so much. First, it's very secure. In order to register, there's a verification process. So the developers want to make sure that this is, you know, somebody that is, you know, personally impacted, that they're setting this up for a child. So there's a level of verification. It's intelligently designed. You know, there's no pop-ups. The soundtrack for Squag is very soothing. You can adjust the intensity of the light. And again, it's a very, very simple concept with a sunlit room, clean animation. And, you know, the third reason is that it's free. It's free for parents and children. So, you know, the Social Express obviously is a really neat, dynamic, subscription game environment, but it's expensive. This is something that you don't need an iPad for. All you need is a computer that has an internet connection. And, you know, it's free. So this is one that I really like and definitely would encourage you to go to squag.com. And they have great, you know, frequently asked questions and resources and information about how this was designed and why it was designed. So I definitely would encourage you to check this one out. On the next page is My Autism Team. So taking a little bit of a turn from apps that were designed for the child or adult that's on the spectrum, My Autism Team is really a great application for caregivers of autism. So, and this isn't what you maybe think of in terms of typical application. It's a website. It's a social networking site. Think of Facebook, but designed specifically for caregivers of autism. And I think this is really important to sort of just get out there. Facebook was designed to share pictures, and it is not necessarily the best place for you to meet and exchange and communicate with others that, you know, are going through challenging times or good times as it relates to, you know, their relationship with autism. And if it goes back to what I was saying in the beginning, the evolution of, you know, sort of the web, and now that people are creating more things, people that built the My Autism Team took the same concepts that, you know, Facebook and MySpace pioneered with social networking and just gave it a specific targeted application for caregivers of autism. And it has now better tools. So, you know, it helps parents find other parents that are also impacted by autism, which is really a cool thing. It's got a provider directory to help you find, you know, a variety of different providers that, you know, are rated by other parents that focus on autism. It's got Q&A. There's a pin board, very much like Pinterest, except, again, for, you know, these caregivers. And I included a number of different screenshots so you could sort of just help illustrate this as I'm talking about it. It's a very simple social networking interface. I think Facebook, in a lot of ways, has gone, you know, sort of way over the edge in terms of trying to constantly innovate, and that's really cool that they're trying to constantly innovate, but sometimes that can get confusing, and, you know, sometimes simple is just better. So the tools that My Autism Team does have, I think they've done a great job with. I think they do a great job of keeping valuable tools with a very simple interface, and that is something that I place a lot of value on, because there's rarely something that you'll start doing on my autism team and say, this is sort of complicated, I just don't get it. It's simple. How's your day going so far? I've got a little mood checker I can post to everybody, or I can go and I can connect with my little network. You know, I can share a story about my kids. The other thing that I've noticed, too, is that the level of interaction among parents on my autism team is really positive. There's a lot of encouragement. There's a lot of, you know, sharing of information. And there's a lot of positive support. So even among people that aren't necessarily connected, and what that does is that helps build connection. So if you're active on here, people start friend requesting you. And the next thing you know, you may not know any of these people in real life, but it's a great place to build, you know, those virtual, social relationships with people that are going through something that's very similar to what you're going through. So I really like my autism team. The last thing that I have on here before I turn it over for the survey and the Q&A was Autism Speaks has really done a great job of organizing all apps that are related to autism and showing you, you know, sort of what kind of category do they fall in, meaning what's their focus, you know, what platform are they available on, is it just the iPad or is it an iPad and an iPhone or an Android or all of the above. And then what's the cost, which I always find most important because, you know, it's great where you could get all of these things, but if it's going to be, you know, $1,000, then that's probably not realistic. So it shows you what the cost of them are, if they're free, if there's a one-time cost, or if it's a subscription. And I included the URL so you can go on and look. And I just took a screenshot to sort of show you what the directory looks like. But this is a very, very, very long list. And it shows literally every app that you could think of or find that touches autism in any way. They've indexed and they've put into this category. And Autism Speaks, they have been, you know, phenomenal partners with what we worked with them on. And so if you found something that maybe doesn't show up in that directory, then I would encourage you to just, you know, shoot them a note and say, hey, here's one that I like, and I didn't see it on your directory. So that's it from my end. I'm going to turn it back over to Jill to go through the survey, and then we'll go through some question and answers if you have any.
Thank you. We'll have a polling session followed by Q&A. To help us evaluate and improve our program, please complete the following short survey. If you are a Signal employee, we ask that you refrain participating in this survey. After the last question, there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions. Your individual responses will be kept confidential. After I finish reading the question and all of the possible responses, please answer by pressing the star key followed by the number that corresponds to your choice. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. This session provided me with education on the social web for caregivers of a person diagnosed with an autism spectrum disorder. Star 1, strongly agree. 2, agree. 3, disagree. Or 4, strongly disagree. And we'll pause to give everyone an opportunity to vote. This session educated me on available online resources and applications. Star 1, strongly agree. Star 2, agree. Star 3, disagree. Or Star 4, strongly disagree. And we'll pause once more briefly to give everyone an opportunity to vote. Overall, this session met my expectations. Please select one of the following responses. Star 1, strongly agree. 2, agree. 3, disagree. Or 4, strongly disagree. I would recommend this program to others. Star 1, press 1 if you agree, or star 2 if you do not agree. Please select the response that best describes your role in the life of an individual with autism. Star 1, I am the parent of a child with autism. Star 2, I am a family member of a child with autism. Or star 3, other. And we'll pause once more briefly. Thank you for your feedback and for participating in our program. If you would like to make any additional comments to help us improve this program, or if you have any questions on today's topic, please press star 1 to have your line opened into the conference. As a reminder, that is star 1 for your questions today. A voice prompt on your phone line will indicate when your line is open. If you find your question has been answered, you may exit the queue by pressing star 2, and we'll go to our first question in queue.
Do you know of anything that can help with the behavior problems?
You know, what I would recommend is going to that Autism Speaks directory, because they do have behavioral intervention as one of the categories. So I would strongly recommend going there, and I think you can actually sort by the category, so that would be a good place to look.
Because my son has Asperger's and bipolar, so kind of got a double whammy.
Yeah, sure. And I think what you'll find is that there are things out there. You're not the only person that's, you know, in that personal situation, and there are apps that are designed to help with all kinds of different issues, and so I would strongly recommend check out the directory for that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
As a friendly reminder, that is star 1 for your questions today. And with no more questions in queue, I'd like to turn the call back to Mr. Chip Nash for concluding remarks.
Well, I just wanted to thank Cigna Behavioral Health and all of you for taking the time today. I hope you found this helpful. Again, I think the intent was to try to provide you with some examples of resources and at least just show you that there are things that are out there that are designed to help a variety of different situations. So you check these out, and if those aren't necessarily what you were looking for, then refer to that autism directory, because there are a number of other, you know, apps that have been created, and really just it's an exciting time, because with technology, people are building a variety of different things to address a variety of different situations. So, you know, with that, I'll turn it back over to Kristen for closing remarks.
Thank you so much for attending, and thank you, Chip, for providing such wonderful insights. Again, if you have questions about therapies discussed today, please contact the autism team by calling the number on the back of your insurance card. Please be sure to mark your calendars to join our next Autism Awareness Seminar next month on May 9th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time or 10 a.m. Pacific Time, when we will be discussing simple strategies for changing behavior. Thank you, and have a great day.